Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm so glad you've joined us. We have a great Bible study, a devotion, really, for you this morning. At my right hand, as always, Kent Steinbach, coming to you from Dallas, Texas, from Herb's House, which is a coffee shop here in Dallas, Texas. You need to come and sit in and be a part. We do the men's Bible study even here on Thursday mornings. So we're going to be looking at the attributes of God. So if you have your Bible, Matthew 28, verse 19, and we're going to talk about our triune God. We're going to talk about the doctrine of the Trinity. And so I want to begin by reading this verse, Matthew 28, 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in, now watch this, the name, singular, of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What we see here, Kent, is one name, yet three persons. And here we see really taught the doctrine of the Trinity. This is really the cornerstone doctrine of Christianity, and it's what separates Christianity from every other cult and every other false religion. The fact that the eternal God exists in three persons. Now, it's been well said, you know, try to get your arms around that and your mind around that, and it'll blow your mind. But it's a truth that is taught in Scripture, and we must embrace it. So let's just begin at the most basic point, that there's one God. We can agree on that. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God." It's the Shema, that there are not three gods. There's only one God. And we see the same in the New Testament with 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So that's a clearly established truth. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3 says the same. There's one God. Yet we see here that there are three persons, Father and Son, and Holy Spirit. And these three persons are co-equal and co-eternal. When we say they're co-eternal, that means there is no beginning, that they have all three existed from all eternity past. They've never been created. There's never been a time in which they came to be. That's mind-boggling for us because we have a beginning. But all three persons have existed from all eternity past, uncreated. They are also co-equal. They are co-equal in that they share the very same attributes. They have the very same essence. They are equally holy. They are equally powerful. They are equally truthful. They are equally full of mercy and grace. We could go through all of the attributes of God, and they share them alike. The difference is in their roles and in their ministries and how they function in an inner Trinitarian manner. And I think the best way to really see this is with what we call the doctrines of grace. They bring into vivid distinction, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we read the Bible, we see that it is God the Father who has chosen us as his elect for salvation. Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just as he chose us in him from before the foundation of the world." So that's God the Father. God the Father has then commissioned the Son to come into this world, to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, to go to the cross, to bear the sins of his people, and to be raised from the dead. So that is God the Son. Then the Father and the Son have sent the Holy Spirit into the world now to convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment, to draw us to faith in Christ. And so all three persons really act as one Savior. God the Father is a Savior. He chose us. God the Son is a Savior. He died for us. God the Spirit is a Savior. He regenerates us. So they all come together to form the Trinity. And we see it in the baptism of Christ. He was in the River Jordan, the incarnate Christ. The heavens opened up. A voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Here in one narrative, we see God the Father speaking from heaven, Christ in the River Jordan, and the Holy Spirit descending upon him. So this is a very important doctrine, Kent, and it really is the cornerstone of Christianity, because it necessitates the deity of Christ and necessitates the deity of the Holy Spirit. If you remove the Trinity, then you remove the deity of Christ and the deity of the Holy Spirit. So that's just a beginning, Kent. We need to discuss this, some practical ramifications of this, which you're always so good to ask probing questions.
Well, I was sitting there thinking as you were talking, and you and I have discussed this recently.
Yeah.
This is very important, I think, because there are well-known, quote, Bible teachers,
yeah,
that we would think, our viewing audience would think, yes, they're like us, they believe like us. But if you peel back the curtain and you say, what do you believe in the Trinity, they're exposed.
Yeah.
And you and I are talking about, they believe in, and it's amazing, whether it's Bible teachers or people that knock at your door, they break down at the Trinity. And one of the ways, if you'll talk about this, is this term modalism.
Yeah.
And it is scary because you can sit in the pews. We had a caller.
Yeah, I remember.
You remember that?
Yeah, I did.
And he said, hey, I've got a Bible teaching preacher, but he believes in modalism.
Yeah.
And if you would explain that.
Yeah.
And we said, you got to get out of the church. And he didn't really.
Yeah, immediately out of that church.
So you might explain how there's a distortion.
Yeah, Kent, you put your finger on the live nerve. Modalism is an ancient heresy. Mm-hmm. And a heresy is very serious, because there's a difference between error and heresy. Heresy will damn your soul. You can have a different interpretation of church government, let's say, or baptism or something like that. But with a heresy, you're outside the gospel and you're outside the kingdom.
And that excludes you as a false teacher.
Yeah, you are a false teacher.
No matter what you say.
Yeah, no matter what else you say that's good, no matter what your TV ratings are.
Yeah.
And modalism teaches that there is only one person in the Trinity, and that sometimes that one person is the Father, but at other times he just changes hats.
Different modes,
exactly. And he comes across or represents himself as the Son, but then at other times the same person. It's almost like he changes uniform or changes modes or representations, and he's the Holy Spirit. But there's only, it's one God with one person. And that is just damnable. Because it denies the deity of Jesus Christ. If you deny the deity of Jesus Christ, I can assure you, you're not a Christian. You're outside the faith.
No matter what you say.
No matter what else you may say. And if you deny the deity of the Holy Spirit, the same is true. And that's what modalism does. And there are popular teachers today who just are theologically untaught, they're self-taught, and they just listen. They have been taught, as they listen to other teachers and preachers, it's just a perpetuation of heretical teaching. And so we have to have our antenna up.
Yeah, do you think, Steve, we should, our listening audience,
yeah,
if they go to a new church, one of the places they should start is, what do you believe about the Trinity?
Yeah, I would basically begin there.
Or anybody.
Yeah.
Without that,
everything else is askew. So, Kent, thank you for bringing that up. And that really puts the rubber down where it meets the road. So I trust that you are airtight in your understanding of what the Bible teaches about the Trinity, the triunity of God. One God, three persons. And it is mind-stretching, but it's also heart-enlarging, and it is faith-building to understand how each of the three persons function together toward one purpose and one goal in this world. Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining us on such an important study in Steadfast Hope. I look forward to seeing our very next opportunity. God bless you.